Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you for joining us on today's program, This Week in America, online, thisweekinamerica.us. Guilt Factors, Mind Games, and Thought Knots by Robert R. Blunden is a multifaceted poetry book that contains a compilation of short, motivational blurbs about guilt and the true workings of the mind, and is interlaced with poetry and artwork. It's been called a must-have book for poetry and art lovers alike, with a motivational spirit that compels one to develop self-belief. Robert was born in Callander, Ontario, Canada, the youngest of 12, moved to Toronto in 1968, joined the Toronto Police Force, retiring in 1999. Over the years, he wrote a number of poems, which he now is sharing along with his impressive artwork, woodwork, and music as well. The author of Guilt Factors, Mind Games, and Thought Knots, an inspired collection of poetry and beautiful illustrations, Robert Blunden with us on This Week in America. Robert from Toronto, one of my favorite cities, thank you for joining us on the program today.
Oh, glad to be here. Glad to be on.
There is so much to talk about, and I mentioned the books, the artwork, the music, the woodwork. You are really a multi-talented guy. Where did all this talent come from?
I really don't know, to be honest with you. I sort of accidentally came upon it. I sort of believe in myself when I do things, and I basically try my best.
Well, and that's a message that comes through loud and clear in the book Guilt Factors, believing in yourself, how important that is. Yes. Before we get to that, just let's go back to this whole poetry and art. When did you develop this love of poetry, and where did that start? Why?
It sort of started on the job, actually. Mm. A group of us on shift, we worked shift work, so there was downtime, so to speak. We basically wrote poetry and you know, asked each other what's the best verse here and verse there, and it just went on for a few years, and basically I you know, on an old typewriter.
I remember those, yes.
I'd type up my poems and whatever, and at one point I had maybe, you know, about maybe 30 poems or whatever, and my wife took my poems, and she had someone type them all out into a booklet, you know, back
yes.
in the day.
Yes.
And you know, from there I've massaged the poems over time, and an ongoing process, but all in all, and that's what it is. It's from work. Some of the stuff is like, you know, on the dark side.
Well, it's very personal, and you talk about things, the good and the bad of life. It sort of really gives us a glimpse into, you know, possibly what a real person goes through. I mean, you talk about some of these were your experiences, some were not your experiences, but you capture all facets of life, don't you?
Yes, yes. A lot of them aren't mine. I mean, these are things I've conjured up. And I don't know if I was influenced by the work I did, you know, law enforcement.
I'm just going to say, you saw a lot of humanity, different sides of humanity, I'm sure, in that job.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't an actual police officer. I was in the civilian ranks. And when I started out, we looked after all the reports and stuff and, you know, things like homicides and attempt suicides, robberies, you know. And over time, after reading through all this stuff, you know, I guess it sort of embedded in your brain, so to speak. And I guess some of the stuff I write about is maybe perhaps an inkling of that. You know what I mean?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. With us on the program is Robert Blunden. That's B-L-O-N-D-I-N. The book we're talking about, and we'll get to it here in a second, is Guilt Factors, Mind Games, and Thought Knots, a poetic and artistic adventure into the known and unknown. The book's available at bookventure.com. You'll find it where books are sold, of course. And Bob's website, which is Bob Meister's Place.com. And Meister is M-E-I-S-T-E-R. So it's bobmeistersplace.com. Go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and you can link on directly. Information there on the books, the artwork, the music, the woodwork, and more that we were talking about. An interesting title for the book, and let's get into the book, because I was very impressed with the book when I had the opportunity to read it. The title is Guilt Factors. Why that title?
Well, again, a long time ago, I had to write like an essay kind of report, and it was dealing with guilt and depression and all these kind of things, and I concentrated on the positives, the actual motivational kind of things where I talk about certain things and try to influence people that they can get over the hump if, you know, that they carry out certain functions. And a lot of it has to do with the mind and your thoughts and everything is hopefully all in a positive way, you know what I mean?
Well, it is, and it is very inspirational and motivational. Where did that come from? I mentioned growing up in the family of 12, and it's interesting, part of the poem, in the poem section of Guilt Factors, you talk about that. The poem, it sure wasn't much, but we called it home. Mom and Dad had 12 kids, so no one was ever alone. Talk about the impact. Is that where a lot of this, a lot of who you are today comes from? Was the impact of the family?
I believe so. I believe it's a loving family, and we were poor as heck, but we got through hard times.
Yes.
And I had four sisters and seven brothers, and I was the youngest, and you know, took me a long time to get to the actual supper table. If you know
Were you in the first seating or the second seating at the household to sit there? Hopefully you were early enough that you had something on your plate by the time the meal came around. Guilt Factors yes.
We never went hungry. There was always something to eat. My mom's garden was filled with veggies and whatever, so.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah.
And you say it comes out in the poem as well that you never really had to worry about clothing because as the youngest, you had everybody else's hand-me-downs that you could wear. Unfortunately, you had some brothers as well, so it wasn't too difficult. That stories like that are a big part of the book, Guilt Factors, and it's divided into to four sections: guilt factors, historical quotes, poetry and artwork, and participation page. Let's talk about historical quotes for a second. Talk about where these quotes came from, the reason you put them in the book, and you've got quotes that are from people that it's like, yeah, I'm familiar with them because they're contemporary figures, and people from three, 4 centuries ago.
That's right, yes. I basically included historical quotes so people would understand that, guilt's been around for a long time, and people have different views on what it's all about. And in answer to your, I think you asked me what my favorites might have been or whatever. I think Walt Disney's one, where it says all our dreams can come true.
Yes.
If we have the courage to pursue them. And that's sort of a definition of believing yourself, you know?
And that's a common theme that goes through the book. So a lot of motivational messages in the book, Guilt Factors, Mind Games and Thought Knots, a poetic and artistic adventure into the known and unknown. Robert Blondin, B-L-O-N-D-I-N, our guest of the program. The website is bobmeistersplace.com. You can link on by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Book available at Book Venture as well in the bookstore. The poem you had there as well, and again, this sort of summarizes who you are and what you're attempting that to get to the viewers and believing in themselves. You've got dream your dream, move some mountains, believe in yourself, be amazed at what you can accomplish, what you can make others accomplish, and my favorite part of that, age is irrelevant.
Yes.
I'm glad that you had that in there. That caught my attention. It's like, okay, it's not too late now to still follow some dreams.
Yeah, it is. One amazing story that I tell people is that, and in the book, there's an area where it talks about visualization.
Yes.
And when my son was maybe 6 years old, he played like baseball, and he wanted to pitch. And I said, "You don't have a chance in whatever to pitch, unless you look at these guys that are pitching, and you visualize every move they're making. And if you can actually emulate that, believe in yourself to do it." And yes, he did. He became one of the top pitchers in all of Scarborough here. So it's some of the stuff, I guess, is a teaching area, short blurbs on this and that.
Well, you can sit and read a little bit at a time if you want. You can sit for an extended period and read through it. It's sort of a great break from the hectic lives that we lead. It gives you a chance to sit, to read, and to think a little bit in the poetry and art. And talk about the artwork. It doesn't necessarily go along with the poetry. You just incorporated that. And these, you're a very talented artist as well as writer.
Thank you.
Yes, you really are, because you'll end up, I'm spending about as much time looking at the art as I was reading the stories there, so it really enhances what you're doing with the poetry. And you talk at the beginning of the book about the poetry, and you've got, "What one gets out of a poem might be neither here nor there, but is of great value in understanding oneself. Your emotions and basic outlooks on life are important to your inner thoughts." And I thought, boy, that sort of sums up what poetry is all about. Is that what you get out of? I mean, everybody can read the same poem and come away with a different interpretation. Is that
exactly?
Yeah,
that is exactly true. It's like looking at abstract art.
Exactly. Yes.
The same thing applies. Some of my art is digital. Most of it is my paintings or my drawings. But some of it is digital, and what you see is what you see. And, to each individual, it could be a different view. So,
no, it's interesting. Do we sometimes, when we get involved in art and in doing some form of art, maybe overthink it? When you do a piece of art, it's your image. Do you go with your instinct, what you do originally, or do you keep going back and trying to enhance it some?
I'm bad. I'm bad at that. Yes, I never accept what it is. I'm always dabbling, and it's until I think that it's there. What I see, it takes time to, as a painter or a sketch artist,
yes,
to accept what you're doing. So. Yes, sometimes you go back and back and back.
The final chapter in the book, there are four chapters: guilt factors, historical quotes, and poetry and artwork that we just talked about. The participation page, and I love that because that's sort of an extension of what we were talking about, and how we formulate our opinions, our thoughts as we are reading a poem. You go back and you've got all the poems there, and then basically an analysis, what people think of those. I love that aspect of it.
Thank you. I didn't know whether I put that in there or not, but I put it in, and it's up to people to read the poem and get what they get out of it. And as you said earlier, people may have a totally different view than someone else,
That's interesting because as the person who wrote that, I get the impression that that's okay. You like that because they are taking what you wrote, the work that you just did, and getting their own interpretation rather than, well, that's not the point I was trying to make. You want people to form their own opinion, apparently.
That's correct.
Yes.
I could have put my version in there of what I thought. I'll give you an example. There's a short poem in there called Life.
Yes.
And my interpretation of that, I think it's a four-line poem, is to do with abortion. But other people may think that it has something to do with something else. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So it's I may interpret it one way, but I respect the fact that other people can come up with their own thoughts as to what it might be, you know.
A few minutes left in the program, going by way too quickly, and we'll have Robert back on the show to talk about another book. But the book we're talking about today is Guilt Factors, Mind Games, and Thought Knots, A Poetic and Artistic Adventure into the Known and Unknown. Bob Meister's Place is the website, and Meister is M-E-I-S-T-E-R. And spend a little time there. Go to the music I was explaining before the program. You've got some music there, some singing, and you've got some great songs. You've got an Elvis song on there. You've got one of my all-time favorites, Hold Me, Thrill Me, Kiss Me by Mel Carter. Really well done, great artwork that you will see there as well. One of the poems, and there were so many as I'm going down to like each one I'm adding to my list of poems that I really liked. You talk about delve into the talents within, and I guess we'll sort of wrap up the program the way we started, talking about motivation. We all have talents within, don't we? And it's necessary for us to tap those.
Well, it absolutely is. It's to each individual. I mean, as I say, you know, some people, you know, don't realize what they can actually do. And can I paint? Can I sing? Can I draw? Can I? Yeah, most likely you can. You just have to give yourself a chance to do it. And I always go back to the old adage, believe in yourself. And, you know, I've always said, you know, good or bad, at least you tried.
Well, yeah, and I wonder, because I'm sure it's something that you followed your life when you decided you were going to start singing and start singing publicly. How difficult was that to actually get up that first time? But you believed in yourself enough to, at least I'm going to do it. I may not be as good as I think I'm going to be, but at least I'm going to do it. Is that what you experience when you start into something new like that?
Oh, it was something else. Yeah. The only song I actually knew was Can't Help Falling in Love by Elvis.
Oh, yes, yes.
I never, ever sang the whole song or never sang in public. The first time I went with my family was karaoke at a bar near my house here. And they call my name out, and I'm just shaking. I was so nervous. And I get up there, and I start singing this song. And so I get through the song, but all the way through, my legs are shaking. My mic is shaking. I get back to the table, and everybody's clapping and all this. And some guy walked up to me and says, "That was a great Elvis impersonation." I said, "What?" He says, "Yeah, your legs were shaking like Elvis." I said, "Oh my God!" You know, I was just nervous as heck.
That you didn't know you were going to have one of the mannerisms there, but you delved into the talents within, and you came out a winner, and we're all the better for it. It's part of what you'll find at the website BobMeistersPlace.com, Meister M-E-I-S-T-E-R Place.com. And the book is Guilt Factors, Mind Games and Thought Knots, A Poetic and Artistic Adventure into the Known and Unknown. The next time Robert will be with us on the program, we'll talk about another book, Lost in the Darkness of Thought. Robert Blondin, B-L-O-N-D-I-N, our guest on the program. Robert, it's been fun. Look forward to having you back on the program. Thank you so much for being with us, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you, Rick.
It's been our pleasure. Once again, Bob Blondin, Robert Blondin, B-L-O-N-D-I-N. The book is called Guilt Factors. Information at our website, thisweekinamerica.us.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.